Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello, this is Zach Rosenblatt. This will be my last Friday podcast as a member of the Arizona Daily Star staff. Maybe they'll have me back on as a guest in the future. But for this farewell pod, I'm here with Justin Spears and Michael Lev.
Who brought onions?
Onions? I didn't bring donuts.
That was my fault. I slipped on that. I should have brought
Your donuts. Michael doesn't even like them, actually. But anyway.
You're sleeping
Are you implying that it's going to get a little dusty in here at the end?
It might.
When we say goodbye to Zach, we're going to get a little...
Hey, why not?
...teary-eyed.
Why not? You know? I mean, more so with you, Michael, because you worked with him for shoots.
No, Michael doesn't like me anyway. He's happy.
So anyways,
Before we get into the farewell part of it, we'll cover some Arizona stuff.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah. We'll talk the newsier things. I guess Arizona are the most... I guess we can start with the all-conference teams that came out.
Yep.
I mean... You and I were at a practice this week. I don't think I've ever... Jacob Alsadek, a pretty subdued guy. I mean, he's funny and he's jovial and he's fun, but he was pretty fired up to the point where he had to, like, look to the media relations person a few times to make sure he wasn't, like, getting
almost,
too angry.
Yeah, he almost said a word that he wasn't supposed to say.
Yeah, well, he was literally... He said the first letter, F, and then he stopped.
Yes.
But if you guys aren't aware, Arizona didn't have a single player on... the all-conference first or second teams. I think they had like five or six honorable mentions, but everybody has that. And Colin Schooler did win Pac-12 Freshman Defensive Player of the Year. J.J. Taylor was co-offensive Freshman of the Year, but they almost didn't care about that because they were so fired. Multiple players. We talked to Sean Brown. Even Rich Rod admitted that it was surprising. Vince Amy.
Vince Amy said he was mad about it too, and he's the defensive line coach. It's ridiculous. It makes no sense. They were
number one
in the conference in total offense, scoring, and rushing offense, and not a single offensive player makes the first or second team. Now, I understand that Khalil didn't play the whole season, and it's kind of hard to get in ahead of the likes of Darnold and Rosen, right? I understand that the running backs was kind of a running back by committee setup, right? Wide receivers didn't throw the ball that much. But what about the offensive line?
Yeah.
I mean, are you telling me that Nathan Eldridge or Jacob Alsadek is not worthy of the second team?
Second team, yeah.
I mean, as I wrote about earlier in the season, what is the common thread here? Sometimes it's Dawkins, sometimes it's Tate, sometimes it's Taylor, sometimes it's Wilson.
The
common
line.
Thread is the offensive line.
They stayed healthy all year. Front.
Those guys should have been rewarded. I think it's ridiculous that they weren't.
I mean, they're the number one offense in almost every category. Like... And they gave up the fewest amount of sacks. Like, what other? There's only so many stats for offensive line, but you look at those when you look at them. I mean, I don't know what the coaches are going off the names they know. Like, I don't understand.
Well, and Michael, you brought up a good point because, I mean, of course, Khalil Tate, I was actually not surprised that he made the first or second
Agreed.
Team.
Agreed, yep.
Just because, I mean, yeah, he was at one point a Heisman candidate. It's crazy to think that a guy who was in the race for a Heisman trophy doesn't even make the all-conference team. It's so crazy to think that, but... All season long, we've heard this, like you said, the common theme that with J.J. Taylor when he has his game, Nick Wilson when he has his game, even Zach Green in the red zone. Zach Green's not getting those runs and those touchdowns if it's not for the big boys getting the push up front. And even when we look ahead to next year, we still have who's the center?
Nathan
Eldridge, Michael Eletise. There's some talent
Cody
coming
Creason,
back.
Yeah.
Cody Creason, there's some talent coming back for the offensive line, but we sit here and say, but it's going to be rebuilding year because of Alsadek and DeBeer and all those guys that are leaving. So, yeah, I was just as surprised as you guys when the offensive lineman didn't get at least second team.
The most ridiculous thing was Shun Brown not being the second team return specialist.
Because that's purely numbers.
Just look at the numbers. He had a higher return average.
More touchdowns.
Two touchdowns. Booby Hobbs had a lower average and no touchdowns. Yet Booby Hobbs somehow.
Also, I never heard of Booby Hobbs before that, and I didn't know there was a guy named Booby in the league. I was very happy when I saw that afterwards.
Are you going to stay now?
I'm going to cover Utah, actually. I'm going to move to Utah.
So that was completely ridiculous. I think the upside, the positive is they're motivation, legitimately mad about this, and I think they're going to carry it with them throughout the offseason into next season. They're going to still have this whole, like, no chip one respects Arizona, even though I think the Wildcats are going to be ranked in most preseason top 25s.
And they'll be in the top three in the South preseason
poll. Probably so. You know, probably behind USC and UCLA or somewhere in that group, depending on, I don't know, depending on what kind of a haul Kelly's able to bring in recruiting-wise.
And what happens this offseason in general,
But they're going to have the disrespect theme, and I think in football in particular that can work in your favor. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, jumping off the offensive line and talking about it being rebooted, Jim Mihalchek early this week informed the coaches he's going to Oregon State, joining Jonathan Smith, who actually was on the coaching staff when Smith was the quarterback at Oregon State, so that's where the connection is. But he's going to have more responsibilities there. He's going to be the O-line coach, co-offensive coordinator, and run game coordinator. I imagine that'll come with a pay raise. He's from the Pacific Northwest. It wasn't necessarily a surprise, but, I mean, what does this mean, Michael? What do you think they're going to look for, replacing him?
You know, it's always a blow when you lose one of your top assistant coaches, there's always sort of an emotional reaction to the whole thing initially, and everyone's all upset about it and sort of feels like, oh my God, everything's falling apart. But this happens. It's part of the business.
Every year with Rich,
It happens with Rich. It happens with Alabama. It happens with every – I mean, look at the movement that we've had over the last couple of weeks. I mean, it's insane.
You know, I mean, imagine if Mike Leach had gone to Oregon. It would have just been even crazier.
Yeah, or if Justin Wilcox had gone to Oregon, then you'd have another one-and-done situation. So, you know, to me, the most interesting thing about this is whether Rich is going to look in-house or out-of-house. You know, like, everyone thinks Glenn Parker is a logical candidate for this job, and he is in a lot of ways. He played at Arizona. He's a Tucsonan.
He's been around the team.
He played in the NFL for 12 years. He was on all those great Buffalo Bills Super Bowl teams, right? Super smart guy. Seems like he'd be a great recruiter. I don't know whether he wants to do that. You know, he hasn't really been super public about it. I think he's just kind of in a mode of putting my head down, doing the work as an analyst. He's going to be doing some on-field coaching. But I think there's this kind of natural compulsion among fans when there are these openings. Why don't we just bring in the former player guy, you know? Let's bring in Antonio Pierce, for example, or Teddy Bruschi. Yeah. You know, they might not want to coach.
Yeah.
I don't know if Glenn Parker wants this job. He certainly, I think, would do a really good job in it. But, you know, there's an element to being an assistant coach of the grind. Going on the road to recruit, texting with recruits, DMing with recruits, calling recruits. I don't know if he wants to do that stuff.
Yeah. I also don't know if Herm Edwards will do that stuff, by the way. That's another topic.
I don't know if you have to as the head coach.
I know
you have to as one of the 10 assistant coaches.
Yeah. And the thing about with Glenn Parker is he's been pretty close around the team, though, right, considering he's an analyst. Which is why I think he's a logical candidate because, okay, for instance, it's weird that I'm comparing this to the Herm Edwards hire, but Herm Edwards has been out of football for a while, and the last time he coached in college was 30 years ago. College football back then was a lot different than what it was today. Glenn Parker, why I think, is since he's been around the team, he knows a lot of these kids, he knows the way these coaches go about themselves. That's why I think he's a logical candidate, and plus, he's an in-house guy. I mean, he's an alum. He's around the team a lot, which is why I don't think that he'll be more likely to coach for a couple years and then look elsewhere. I mean, he loves Arizona. I think he's a likely possibility that he could be around here for a while.
Yeah.
That's just my take.
He's been around the game. He's stayed connected.
He's been an analyst for a while.
Yeah. He's been a TV analyst, you know, for Pac-12 networks. He's a guy, we've seen him around campus all year long. Come out of the weight room, whatever.
Yeah.
And
he's around the team.
There was a reference early in the year. Zach, you remember this probably, where Rich said there was a guy that I was trying to hire, but I couldn't hire him because he had worked out with one of our players.
Well, because he trained also back in the summer, which I knew.
And I think that might have been Parker, because he only became a full-time analyst about a month ago.
When they were hiring Cecil, I'd heard a rumor that he was another name they were considering for another analyst position, and then Rich came out and said the thing that we couldn't get the other guy we wanted. So you put two and two together. I don't know if he'll tell
us, but probably Parker. So he has a relationship with the players. I know they like him. Like I said, I think it's just a matter of whether Rich wants him and whether Glenn wants to do it. You know, because you're going to get yelled at times if you're one of Rich's assistants. I don't know if that's something that he's willing to put up with.
I'm sure Glenn's well aware of that, too. Yeah.
I'm sure.
And can he recruit, too? Because Rich Rock doesn't have
any history of recruiting.
He doesn't have any history of recruiting. Mahalchek, he's one of the best position recruiters on the West Coast, at least in my opinion.
I think that personality-wise, he definitely could. It's a totally a matter of whether you're willing to put in the work.
And his story is pretty awesome, too. He didn't even play football, really, until he went to junior college, and he only played 2 years in Arizona.
Right.
So he only had a few years of experience playing, kind of like the Joel Embiid kind of thing, and then he wound up playing because Joel Embiid only played like 2 years. He only played like two, but years of basketball in his life before college.
You just compared Glenn Parker to Joel Embiid somehow.
It makes sense
too. Like how's your Friday going?
It made sense. Well, he ended up playing 12 years in the NFL after that. That's the point.
All right. You know, in-house is a good transition to our third topic because that's what Oregon did. To replace Willie Taggart, they went in-house.
Mario Cristobal.
Mario Cristobal, who. It's not a sexiest hire, you know. It's not like a big splashy name.
Yeah, he's been one of the best recruiters in the country for the last couple of years, starting at Alabama. He was a head coach for a bit.
Florida International.
Right? He didn't do that well there. I don't know how easy it is to do that well there.
Bruce Feldman had a tweet earlier today. I think he said it was like the worst program in the country.
Yeah.
And I think it was 27-47 there or something.
Just think of it.
That nature. Yeah. But, you know, you're taking over a really bad situation, and I think he did a good job. He worked at Alabama, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, think of it this way. If Nick Saban sees you as good enough coming off of a job like that to be on this, he was the lead recruiter on that staff. Got some of the best. I mean, you're at Alabama, so I don't know how much that factors in, but he's done just as well as Oregon. And there was like 70 players or something that signed a petition to keep him on as head coach. So it's you know, like you said, it's not like you always look for the sexy hire, especially because it's Oregon and they always try and make everything flashy. But I think this is smart. Keep the momentum. They had one of the best recruiting classes in the country before Willie left. They've had a bunch of decommitments, but at least in the near future, I think it's smart because I think there could be a pretty good team next year.
Well, you look at the players that he brought in at Alabama. I mean, it was only from 2013 to 16. How many national titles did they win in that span? At least two. I mean,
they're loaded. They're loaded every year. I don't know how much is that is him. How much of that is saving?
Of course,
it's Alabama, they've got it rolling like USC had it rolling in the aughts, right? I mean, just one five-star after another, tons of guys in the NFL draft. Like you said, Zach, he's recruited very well at Oregon. There's no right or wrong answer to this whole notion of whether, the interim coach is a good hire or not. You know, I mean, look at Dabo Swinney. Dabo Swinney was an interim coach who was hired full-time at Clemson. He's been a total home run.
Clay Helton.
We'll see.
USC fans are skeptical.
The jury's still out, but I think he's done pretty darn well.
Yeah.
Could they have gotten someone better than him?
It's USC,
I don't know. Probably. Yeah. But I do Jeff think there is something to that
Jeff
idea
Fisher.
Of... Who's that?
Jeff Fisher. His name's always thrown around now.
Oh, my gosh. I'm surprised Jeff Fisher hasn't surfaced as a TV guy somewhere. Because I think he's better on
TV. I saw a story that he was hitting up teams about hiring him in the NFL, I think. So I don't know.
And maybe he could be the Arizona offensive line coach.
Better than
the 10th.
No, remember, Rich said he doesn't want. Rich said he doesn't want another.
Doesn't want another coordinator type. Yeah.
just say head coach.
Just get Glenn the process, Parker.
Glenn,
no. No, but I think Mario Cristobal. I think it's going to be a great hire because. We sit here and talk about recruiting. That's one of the most essential things in college football. He's done an exceptional job, not only at Alabama and bringing in those talents. I mean, like you said, Michael, how much of that is Nick Saban? How much of that is just a brand name? I mean, he's had some hand in it at some point.
I remember his name coming up for a lot of these openings over the last few years, too, and he just hadn't gotten one, you know. And the other thing, too, real quick on this before we segue to your mailbag or whatever else you want to talk about.
Ask Blair.
is he might be able to keep Jim Leavitt. Jim Leavitt might be one of the best defensive coordinators.
The immediate rumor that was that he was going to follow Willie to Florida State, and then he tweeted like, "Don't believe everything you read," which is always funny when that happens.
He turned Colorado's defense around.
Oregon.
He turned Oregon's defense
was bad before he got there.
Year. If they can keep him on staff,
he might be a head coaching candidate somewhere.
I think that enhances the whole deal. You agreed. Know? I remember when Lane Kiffin came to USC, it was a package deal. It was him, it was Ed Orgeron, it was Monty Kiffin. The whole thing. It wasn't just Lane.
Dad.
Did you guys see that video, by the way? Someone tweeted a video. Monty,
he got lost or something.
Get into the stadium.
I didn't watch it, but I saw a tweet about it.
Too funny.
So funny. Oh, that's man. Kiffin family, man. Lane Kiffin has become more entertaining as he's gotten older.
Why do they not have their own ball family?
Yeah.
Reality show on Facebook.
Keeping Up with the Kiffins.
Yes.
His Twitter feed His Twitter feed is the best. His Twitter feed is the best.
Plus, he's divorced.
He tweeted a photo of Kim Jong-un. He tweeted a photo of Kim Jong-un during the Tennessee coaching search.
He's divorced from
Where
his
Tennessee jacket.
He's divorced from his hot wife, so there's that element too. You know, that awkwardness. There's his dad who's this all-time great defensive coordinator genius, but who's maybe going a little senile. You know, the flame is constantly trolling and flaming. I mean, how that hasn't happened, I don't know.
Ball family has nothing on the Kiffins.
Don't tell that to the Ball family. Real quick, we'll transition a little bit to basketball because there was some pretty big news. I wasn't at the press conference, but you want to tell the people? Sean Miller opened the press conference saying it too, right?
Yeah, it was.
Which is pretty rare, yeah.
And it was kind of interesting because, you know, with the whole is there a possibility that a player was involved in the FBI investigation? Somebody said, I'm going to address something about Raleigh, and everybody was like, I really thought what's happening right now? And he said, well, if he could put together two practices, then he's going to be able to play on Saturday against Alabama, which is huge because Arizona has two motivating victories, I would say, or a confidence
boosting. They were still sloppy.
Yeah, they still look sloppy, but it was a lot better. Yeah. It was more.
Texas A&M is a good win, too.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's a win over a top 10 opponent for the first time in a few years. But yeah, with Raleigh Alkins back, now Sean Miller has all of his troops going forward. Alkins will not start against Alabama. I mean, you can kind of expect it's kind of similar to when Alonzo Cherry came back last year, where he's not going to start, but. I mean, granted, after that first media timeout, I mean, expect to see number one back for Arizona.
Who's that guard for Alabama?
Colin Sexton.
Was he banged up?
Yeah, something happened to him, but I think he's expected to play. I'm not 100% on that. I hope he does because he's good.
He got poked in
that
the
game.
Eye.
There would be a lot of steam taken out of that game if he's not playing. Greg Byrne will be there. I hear he's going to be sitting behind the Alabama bench.
Interesting. that's a bold move.
I'm curious if he'll be shown on the Jumbotron and what the reception will be because there's been some not so positive news since he's left that's tied to his tenure here. So that's weirdly, by the time this game happened, we didn't expect Rich Rod to still be around either.
Yeah.
That was his major hire when he was here. So,
but
I wonder if they'll break bread.
Yeah.
Well, Sean Miller was awkwardly asked during the A&M press conference, are you going to meet with Greg Byrne at all this week? He was just like, no.
No. I mean, why would he? But no, this should be a great game. Alabama's not in the top 25 anymore. They were. And if for all of you who follow college basketball religiously, they were that three team because all their players got suspended for the whole game. So Colin Sexton was one of three players remaining on the court. So
3-on-5.
Hopefully Sean Miller's three-team set is pretty good.
Yeah. Well, they came back when they only had the three players, too. That was a crazy part of that.
Yeah, so,
But, all right. Anyways. So, we'll go to the mailbag now. Michael's going to have to leave here in a little bit, so maybe we'll say goodbye to you now before the mailbag. You and I will talk, obviously, between now and when I leave.
Yes,
but,
of course. Well, hey, I just want to say for the record, thanks to Zach for all the help that he gave me. Coming in here as a newcomer, we kind of got thrown into things.
Yeah, New Mexico Bowl.
The New Mexico. I started the week of the New Mexico Bowl.
We bonded bonded over some New Mexican food.
We did. My first day, I covered practice that day, and about two or three days later, Zach and I drove together up to the Phoenix airport. Spent the whole week together in Albuquerque covering
the
game. So we got to know each other and bonded over. Food and pop culture and stuff like that. And Zach sort of showed me the ropes and helped me to understand the Arizona culture a little bit. So it was great. Very helpful. It's been a lot of fun.
Spent a lot of time together the last year and a half.
We did, yes, we did. Except for those times when you go off and do basketball. Yeah. You know, go with your basketball.
You'd be like, don't
friends,
forget about me.
You know, skipping spring practice, stuff like that. But no. But let me throw in my own Ask Black question while I have a couple minutes here. Who is your favorite Arizona athlete to cover, would you say, during your time with the Daily Wildcat here and at the Daily Star? Oh, I know that's tough one to throw at you off the cuff here, but
I've been thinking about that. It's tough because there's been a lot of really interesting and fun. Like there's different ways to look at that question because there's an entertaining interview and then there's like just a legitimately like great interview because a guy can be entertaining and maybe not say that much to you. Like Kadeem Carey is one of my favorite guys I've ever covered. He just loved life and football and he was always laughing and smiling. And then I just think of guys like Gerard DeBeer, just sitting down with that guy. He's the most interesting, thoughtful. Even beyond athletes like Mike Andrea, I don't think you can beat him in terms of coaches and interviews. And there's been some high school kids over the years. But, yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed Raleigh Alkins. And Solomon Hill might be one of my favorite all-time interviews. Just really thoughtful basketball player. He always had something interesting to say. And, yeah, I think that would kind of be the grouping of guys I've really enjoyed.
All right, how about this one? Your like favorite or most memorable sporting event that you covered? Arizona sporting event. You were at the Hail Mary game.
I was at the Hail Mary, but the funny thing is I missed the Hail Mary because I was helping Daniel Burke, who was your replacement, with the online gamer that we have to do because it was a tight deadline. So and all I heard was Burke say he caught it. We're all like looking up like what? I mean that one is a standout. All the NCAA tournament, I love the NCAA tournament, especially those close Elite Eight games. The New Mexico Bowl in 2012 was kind of crazy. They scored like 14 points in less than a minute to come back to. I mean, I know it's the New Mexico Bowl, but just the way it happened. That was my first time. I was still a student writer at the time. I had never experienced a game where you have to delete everything that you wrote and just completely start over. Like, so that was a pretty cool experience. And covering the Final Four with Bruce last year was pretty cool. I was super sick when I covered it. And so I was like, I felt like I was about to die, but I still was like, when North Carolina was receiving the trophy and they were sitting up on stage, I was like right in the front row hearing everything they were saying to each other. And that was a pretty cool experience.
Nice.
Wow. That's incredible.
Those are good answers.
Yeah.
He's done a lot before the age of 27, huh?
Been through it all.
I mean, jeez.
I mean,
all right.
Impressive. All right.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
I have to run. Thank you, Zach.
You'll be back on here.
I'll be back next week. Justin and I will figure out some sort of a schedule to do some more podcasts, and Justin's going to join me.
Some Bulls preview stuff.
In the Bay Area as well for the Foster.
Oh, you're going. Bowl, nice.
Yep. Cool. Santa Clara, here we go. So,
don't you read your email, Zach?
I never got an email about that.
Do you not? Maybe you're off the maybe you're Ryan off
removed
the,
me.
Yeah, you're no longer part of the
Ryan videos. Moved on from me a while ago.
All right. Enjoy the mailbag.
Thank you,
sir. See you guys later.
All right, cool. We'll cut to the...
It's time to Ask Black.
All right, that'll be the last time you hear that unless they decide to keep my namesake going forward. I don't know what your guys' thoughts are with that.
Ask Blatt, but it's not really Rosenblatt.
Zach's not here. You have to remind him every time. All right, let's see what we got.
Let's get started.
Thanks for the last time for sending this in, by the way. It's been fun doing this with you guys. I tried to make this Friday podcast my own and have some fun with it, and I'm excited to see what Justin does with it now because I know he's going to take over the Friday pod.
Pass on the torch.
And pass on the torch. First one was from R. Kellepire, Ryan, our friend from AZ Desert Swarm. He asked, what's the best place in Philly to get a cheesesteak?
Ooh.
And the touristy spots that I'm not a huge fan of, they're fine, are Pat's and Gino's, which everyone goes to. There's another spot not that far away called Jim's Steaks. I'm not as in tune with like the smaller places. Jim's is smaller, and it's pretty well known for anybody from the East Coast, and that's the best cheesesteak I've ever had.
What's like an ideal cheesesteak for you? I mean, because I've had Philly cheesesteaks in my time, but in terms of the United States, I mean, I've been to Europe, but in the U.S., I've never been east of New Mexico. So it's just like cheesesteaks to me are like...
Well, you've been to Frankie's, right?
I've been to Frankie's.
Yeah, Frankie's is actually legit.
That's legit?
Cheesesteak.
Okay.
Because they have one of the most important parts is the bread, and they have like the bread like shipped out from the East Coast.
Oh, nice.
But, I mean, the way you order it in Philly is you go up and you say whiz wit or whiz without. And you're supposed to have it with whiz cheese. Not everybody does, but you're kind of supposed to. And without means without onions, and wit means with onions. And that's all you need to know.
Whiz wit. That's my kind of saying.
See, I'm not an onion guy. I go without.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's the simplest thing, but it's so delicious. And, yeah, I'm excited. There's some spots back in my hometown in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. A spot called Chick's Deli I like going to. I'm excited to hit that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone asked best cheesesteak in Tucson as a response, and that's definitely Frankie's. It's the only one I've had in Tucson, actually, but all right. My friend Adam Butler tweeted, considering the research of Danny Kahneman and Amos Tversky, I'm sure I said those wrong, which makes me sound dumb, the godfathers of behavioral economics and who postured the human cognition of error, why'd you choose the U of A? That's why I love Adam.
Interesting.
Why did I choose the U of A? I've been asked that a lot since I moved out here because everybody's always confused why I came all the way out here. But I have a lot of family in L.A. I wanted to be close to them. Ironically, I wanted to get away from New Jersey, and I'm going back now. And then I came out here and visited, and everybody who's been in Tucson knows the campus. And you walk out, and you see pretty girls, and you see beautiful weather, and you see that campus, and you see the sports. And, you know, out of all my options, I was just like, I'm just going to commit right now. It's not the same thing as a recruit, but I committed on my visit, basically.
And that was the first thing that caught my eyes, the first thing you said, the pretty girls. Oh, yeah. The pretty girls and the fact that you can actually walk outside in sandals and shorts.
All year.
All year round. Yeah. It could be December, closer to Christmas time. I mean, now it's starting to get a little chilly outside, but the fact that it's December and I could still walk out with shorts and flip-flops – it's amazing. That's
the time of the year where it's like nice during the day and then cold at night kind of thing. Yeah. Which I was really confused with when I moved out here because I'm like, which one is it? So in the morning I would like have my sweatshirt on and go to class, and then by the afternoon I'd be sweating, I'd have to carry it around.
It's Tucson for you.
Now I'm going back to the cold where I'm Tucson turned me into a big baby with the weather, so I'm nervous for that. Let's see. PJ Brown, who writes for us, she covers Arizona women's basketball. Touched on some of this stuff earlier. She asked, top three favorite stories you wrote for the Star, favorite athletes and coaches to cover, favorite stories to moments with the team at the Star. I mean, I'll just kind of answer all of that in one fell swoop. Favorite stories I've written, and there's so many. I've got the chance to cover some really cool things, talk to some really interesting people. Before I started covering U of A, like, all out, one of my favorite ones I wrote was about this cross-country kid from Cholla named Deng Deng, who wanted to make it to college and so he could get his like father and his brother out of Kenya, and his mom was working like two jobs and working at Safeway, and I got to sit down with him and his family. It was a really cool story. Trying to think. I mean, obviously the Mike King Johnson story, that just the way I was able to be the one to tell his story was just really cool. And
that's awesome.
I've never seen one of my stories kind of, you know, I don't know how to say it. Like, so many people read that story and it was really interesting to me. And
national buzz.
Yeah,
man.
And even, but just like, I was happy, I was proud of the story. It wasn't just like, I was proud that was the story, that was the one that got blown up, you know. And more recently, Gary Brightwell story, where I sat down with him and this kid just like kind of told me all about his life, and I got to talk to his mom, who just told me everything the kid's been through in his life and how he's still like this smart, you know, well-grounded. Well, I mean, he hasn't played as much as we all thought he would, but he has a bright future. And he's lost his dad. His dad was murdered. His sister died in a car crash pretty recently. And he's had a lot of friends that have been killed. Like, I couldn't imagine going through all of that. And
seriously,
this kid's 18, 19 years old.
Yeah.
Like, and he was just, and without, I like, it all started because I asked him, like, we sat down in Lowell Stevens for media day. And I was like, I mean, so how hard has it been transitioning to college? He's like, oh, man, this ain't hard. I've been through hard. Like, people have died. And then he started telling me his life story.
Wow.
It was really cool. And, I mean, one that was, I would say that was tough to write, but I was happy I was able to, the one to do it was about Zach Hemla. And I talked as his senior day, what would have been his senior day was approaching. I drove up to Phoenix. I talked to his dad for a couple hours. And he just, you know, he opened up to me, and I talked to Zach's old girlfriend, and his mom eventually didn't want to talk at first, and then eventually called me, and just talking to guys on the team and just learning about this kid that I didn't know at all, and just seeing kind of the reaction from the community. And I was happy I was able, I mean, not happy that the story existed in the first place, but yeah. I was happy that I was able to write that.
Heck yeah.
I mean, we already talked about some of my favorite athletes and coaches were favorite stories and moments with the team. I don't know, man. It's like the little moments. Like Michael was talking about just exploring Albuquerque with my new coworker. Even in March, we weren't working together yet, but it was cool getting to know you a little more on the road.
Heck yeah.
And saw your work ethic and making the Daily Wildcat proud, and I knew you'd end up here someday, man. I mean, just being able to pick Greg Hansen's brain on the road. You know, grabbing Estella with him after the NCAA tournament Xfinity Live by Staples Center, just going and grabbing a beer with him and John Gold. And I probably asked Greg Hansen more historical questions on a daily basis than anyone in his life, and he always has an answer for me. And I respect, there's few people I respect more than Greg. I mean, Ryan Finley just giving me this opportunity is my favorite moment with him, man. He,
that's awesome.
You know, he he brought me on part time as a stringer, and I'm getting a little emotional.
Dude, you're good, man. You're good. That's why we're here. So, yeah, man. Well, I mean, think. Well, I just think about it, Zach. Everything that you were just talking about, all the journeys and everything you've been through, and all the people that you've come across the way in just a short time.
Yeah, it's
and you're
crazy.
still very young, and you're going back into a position where you're only going to continue to grow, not only as a journalist, but you're networking. I mean, you're destined for great things, man.
Thanks, man.
And seriously, and to hear your journey. And man, seriously, like when I was in college, it's funny you bring this up, man. When I was in college, my very first game I ever covered as a journalist was I did color commentary for camp student radio.
Yeah, I remember you doing that. Yeah,
and Joey Petrello.
Yeah, I remember Joey.
And we parked back when the parking was across the street from the stadium. It wasn't in the garage. It was weird. And he said, yeah, that's Zach Rosenblatt. You know, if there was anybody that you need to get to know or just kind of if you want to model yourself after, it's him, because he's the one who got a job straight from college. He's the one where he's young and he's doing what he loves. So, man, I've been following you for years,
man,
before you even knew my name.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean,
man?
So, Zach, I mean, best of luck to you, man. And I'm excited for big things for you, because Lord knows you're going to get it.
Oh, thanks, man. That just made me think of, like, when I first started, because I started at the Wildcat, obviously, way back when. And I remember my first time even being at McHale, and I had to go to, like, the Lowe's room, which is, like, up top. And I'd never been to McHale. And I think I was covering, like, women's basketball media day or something. And I just got straight up lost. Like, I was just walking around in circles, like, probably walking around three times. I didn't know where the hell I was going. It's just funny to think. Like, I started at the Star as a stringer and a part-timer. I was still working at the Wildcat while I was still a student. And when I wasn't even technically hired by Ryan, I was hired by Shannon Connor, who teaches sports journalism at the J School right now. But I never worked for her. I worked for Ryan. But, you know, they told me in the beginning there wasn't really any full-time openings. And so I thought, never crossed my head, that I would work for the Star full-time. And then I graduated. I was freaking out because I thought I was going to have to move back home without a job. And I was working part-time. My plan was to leave in the summer once my lease ran up. And then I realized that part-timers only cover high school stuff, and there's no high school sports during the summer. So I emailed Ryan. I'm like, hey, like, I'll do copy editing. I'll write for new. Like, just, is there anything I can do to just keep on writing for you guys for a little bit longer? And he's like, I'm going to call you in a few days. And then he called me, and he's like, hey, you want to write for us full-time? And I was just floored, man. I never expected. And, you know, Ryan has been – I started out covering Pima, Arizona volleyball, and Arizona women's basketball, and – you know, I pushed him to let me do more, and he's been very willing, and I've gradually been able to work my way up, and he's been giving me opportunities to cover the NCAA tournament and the Final Four and go to all these bowl games and the Fiesta Bowl, and it's been awesome. And we stopped in the middle of the Twitter mailbag to do all that, but thank you everybody for listening to this podcast, for reading all my content. I'm still being Tucson for the next week, but you know, it's these last 5 years have been awesome, man.
Buy this man a beer. Buy this man a beer before he leaves.
All right, with that, I hand the baton off. I literally handed Justin a microphone earlier, so it's kind of like a literal baton. I'm excited to see what the future holds for this kid. He's got a lot of talent, and I knew he was going to wind up doing something good, and I'm happy he's with the Star, man. And, thank you all so much for listening, if you made it this far in the podcast.
Yeah, I'm sure it got emotional. I'm sure you made it this far, man, but Zach, best of luck to you back home, man. You're going to kill it. Trust the process.
Yeah, I'll be covered. If you all didn't know, you don't have to unfollow me on Twitter, because I'll have a lot of TJ McConnell content coming your way. And I didn't mention Bruce Pascoe at all. I've learned a lot from Bruce. I don't know if there's a more hardworking guy in this business, man. He doesn't get fazed by anything. Like, Sean Miller shut him down, he keeps going. Like, I've learned a lot from him and Michael in that regard, just being able to work with those two and Greg extensively over the years has just been, I've learned so much from those guys and Ryan. And I used to idolize Ryan when I was following the Arizona Daily Star. I thought he was a big deal. And I remember him covering the football team and just reading all of his content and learning a lot from him. And yeah, there's nobody like the guys at the Star, and yeah, I know they're going to be fine without me. So thank you guys so much for listening, and And read my last story in the paper today. I wrote about Arizona's offensive line. That's my last plug for y'all. And subscribe to this podcast if you don't already.
On the Wildcaster app, man.
On the Wildcaster app. One last plug. All right, thanks, guys.